All right, the Lord is good. Okay, the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. Let us read a few verses from there. Let's start from verse 1. It said, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling," that's chapter 3, "consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession." Now, I'm going to jump in a number of verses because I like the two chapters, chapters 3 and 4. They are very important, the things that I'm teaching. But because of the length of time involved, I will not be able to read everything. All right? Now, he was talking about Jesus Christ. So he said, "He was faithful to him who appointed him as Moses also was in all his house." Now, starting from verse 5, he said, "Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Jesus was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confession and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says," please listen to this, "today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me." And here he was referring to Exodus chapter 17, where the people provoked God because they hardened their hearts. They complained against Moses when they were in distress. He said, "As in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. That is, the consequence of their trying God and testing him was that the works of God were manifested before them for 40 years, not as a reward, but as punishment." Do you understand that? That is, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. "Therefore, I was angry with this generation," he said, "and said, they also go astray. They always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now in verse 12, we now read, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Now, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today." He said, let me just quickly jump, like I said, verse 1, chapter 4, "Therefore, let us fear, lest a promise remains," notice the word promise, "of entering his rest. And then, though this promise remains, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news." That's another word I want us to note. Promise. "We have had good news preached to us." Alright? "Just as they also," that is promise, good news. "But the word," that's another word to note, "the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For for we who have believed, we enter into rest," into that rest. "Just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." That is, there is a rest that belongs to God. He said, "although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now, please notice this. Let me just stop there for a moment, and then we'll come back to this later. Like I said, we are talking about the faith rest life. Please don't forget the faith rest life. That's what we're talking about. And that's part of our Faith Basics series. What are we dealing with? We are dealing with, that's in this season now, what has to do with how to keep our hearts steady in God. Now, there are certain things I want to explain before I go into this teaching further. You know, last time we began it. And last time I explained the fact that afflictions will come. Let me just say it again. Afflictions and troubles, they are part of life. The very foundation of this earth is a solution to troubles. What I mean is this. When God came down, the Bible said the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. That was when God began to speak. That is, he started by trying to put order into what was in disorder. Are you getting my point? So the fact that things go wrong or you have issues in life is not a big deal. That's just the way life is. Is that all right? And it's a matter of fact that every disappointment is a blessing. It is a matter of fact, okay, that every challenge is a stepping stone. It is a matter of fact that David, though he was anointed, okay, would not have stepped into where he stepped into except that Goliath showed up. That is the key to David's victory, success and popularity was a major problem called Goliath. If Goliath did not show up the way he did, it would have been difficult for people to know who David was. It would have been a harder job to do. Goliath made David famous in Israel. Without Goliath, the publicity of David will have been difficult. Are you getting my point? So anytime you have problems in life, that's just the way to look at it. And not just because you want to make yourself feel good, because that is a matter of fact. Let's get that very clear. All right? Now, that's just to remind us of what we said before. Now, we are going to talk about, like I said today, why we go through those trials. All right? Briefly. But before I get to that, there's something I want to explain here. Talking about the rest of God. These are faith basics. These are the fundamental things of Christianity we must understand. How do we respond when we have trials? Okay? What does God expect? Like where God was referring to here in the book of Hebrews that we just read, it was from Exodus chapter 17. You will find out that what happened there was that the people had problems. God had delivered them stage one from Egypt. And then now they were supposed to be on their way to the promised land. And the way to the promised land, unfortunately, the road to the promised land is not smooth. It's not an easy ride. It's not like just getting to an express train and phew, you are in the promised land. Now it could be like that. Let me just quickly say this. It is possible for it to be like that. In fact, God's ultimate is to convert that road to that particular level. It is just that by the time you get to that road, it's not like that. Listen to this. It's by your faith that you will convert the road to an express road. Do you get what I'm saying? That is the road of life. The road to the promised land is not smooth at all. It's like God coming down. You will see that the road is without form and it is void. And darkness is upon your way to the promised land. Are you getting my point? Now, what do? You respond like God. Or you respond through God. That's a good way to say it. We need to understand that. Because what you use to handle the challenges of life are the promises of God. Is that okay? That is the word of God working in you, working through you, puts order into the way to the promised land. What most of us do, what a lot of people in life would rather do, is to look at that road and turn back and say it's not a good road. Did you hear what I said? Actually, what happened to the children of Israel was exactly that. They came out of Egypt, they said they were going to the promised land. And God chose the easiest way for them. He said, let them not pass through the shorter route, which they thought, because there they will see wars and they will change their mind. So God took them through another route. God delivered them through the Red Sea. Do you understand the point? Now, God was trying to make life easy for them. But even while God was making things easy for them, they still had to face challenges. Because those are the things that were going to toughen them up for the final thing. Because, listen to this, let me say it again. The promised land that they were going to, but they were giants in that land. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were what? You know what giants were? Those are people that look fearful but can't do anything. That's what giants are. They can harass you with noise. They terrify you with their utterances. But they can't do anything. David killed one Goliath, one of the giants. All these men were killing one giant after the other. In case you think it was only David, go and ask Caleb at the age of 80. Those are the kind of jobs those men were doing. What are giants? They are the challenges in life that in reality, though they look tough, they can't overcome you. But this is the interesting part. The only way you will know they can't overcome you is because God tells you about that ahead of time. Because by every appearance, they are terrible. So what am I saying? The promised land they were going to, it had giants too. But God said, if I just push them there to go and take the promise, because what they just expected was that the way all of us think, is that you just enter the promised land and there's no trouble. You know the average person, if God says, what should I give you now, materially? I said, God, let's just make it $2 billion so that there will be no problem with coming back to ask you for anything extra. I know you are very busy. And even you listening to me, even though I will tell you it's not true, but I know it's hard for you to accept that it can't be like that. All right? Now, most people actually think that the $2 billion is a passport to an easier life. The truth is that it is not. That's why Jesus said, when you want to pray, pray like this. This is what the prayer should be. Give us what? This day. Our bread for one day, because the bread for the extra day in a calamity they bring, it causes discomfort in the souls of men. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, many people just ask God for one big amount of money, thinking that that's easy life. Unfortunately, Now, I was reading this book the other day. I told you about that richest man in Babylon. Very interesting read. Very interesting read. The man said, one of the things that comes to the man that gathers much gold is a new set of troubles, which includes how to protect the gold from disappearing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's what I'm trying to explain. So many of these we are asking God for. When we see it, we will see that there are plenty giants in that land. One of a few friends of mine that we're discussing, he said, let's assume you suddenly get maybe like 2 billion naira. Somebody brought up the issue. And that man said, the first thing you do is pack out of town. You have to move to Abuja. We said, why? He said, you see, you have to go and live amongst those that have such money. That if you could live amongst those who don't have it, they will soon kidnap you. What I'm going to say is that, listen, everything you are looking forward to in life has troubles in front of it. You see a big and massive house and you love it. Park in there, pay NEPA bill for 1 month, you will park out. Yeah. Oh, because you see, unconsciously, you look at the house, it's a nice house, that's all you can see. And where you are coming from, your electricity bill in a month is 1,000 naira. 1,500. In fact, the last time you bought a 3,000 naira credit, alright, for your prepaid meter, that was 6 months ago. Till now, it hasn't finished. Without thinking about it, you think that's how those who are living in that house, that's how they live. And he talks to the owner of the house, he tells that he pays 35,000 naira a month to PACN so as not to disconnect him. You will look like, why? He said, oh boy, these security lights you are seeing around the perimeter, each one is 1,500 watts. That's all the appliances in your house put together. Now, you get what I'm saying? It's when they drop you inside there. Have you ever watched Prince and Papa? After the Papa that was in the prince, it was praying, Edward, please come home. Edward, please come back. The whole place was getting too hot for him. Let me just go back to my Papa life. It's much easier. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, even the promised land we think we are going for, you understand? There are giants there. And the only way you will enjoy the promised land, alright, by being able to tackle the giants, is by the process that brought you to the promised land. If you drop into the promised land from above, you can never enjoy the promised land. It's not possible. The man that will enjoy the promised land must have been a slave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The man that will enjoy the promised land must have passed through the Red Sea. He must have gone through the wilderness. He must have suffered hunger and trusted God for manna. He must have enjoyed the manna of God, because he must understand the principle of the manna of God. It is a lean meat. Manna was not enjoyable. Don't think that, you know, like I say, these children, they're not graceful. God was giving them manna. Yusuf chopping their bread every day for 6 weeks. Try it now. Say, Pastor Bank, let's do the experiment. I'll give you bread morning, afternoon, and night. Just bread. Okay. You want Milo with it? No trouble. Bread and Milo. Breakfast, bread and Milo. Lunch, bread and Milo. Dinner. After the first 1 week, next time you see bread, you go, kick out my friend, excuse me there. No, you have to put yourself in the shoes of those people before you start condemning and criticizing them. Because if you don't put yourself, all right, in their shoes, you will have cursed God like they did before you realize it. You must understand that manna day and night is not fun. That was why they started asking for cucumbers. That was why they started asking for meat. No, really, really. Let me tell you the truth. Some of these things, you don't realize it. That was why. Why am I explaining it like this? Because if I don't say it like this, you won't realize that, okay, it's not that you are more righteous than them. You have not yet experienced what they experienced. And the Bible said they were recorded for our learning. If you don't put yourself in their shoes, you won't know what you are supposed to know from their experiences. You can't eat bread morning, afternoon, and night, the same thing for 1 week, 2 weeks, and you won't feel bad. No matter what it is that you love most, the first time they give it to you is nice. Second time, my God, this is a good life. Third time, oh, I don't arrive. The fourth time, say, nothing else did this house. Part of the reason why you enjoy it is because you don't have it often. Once it becomes regular, you know, it's like you see a young, you know, I told you this before, when I was a young boy, they will offer a man What would you like to drink, sir? And he said, oh, nothing, just a cup of water. Open check, like go against Solomon. And you go look the people where they ask what you go drink. They say, okay, everything is available. You want a soft drink, you want juice, fruit juice, you want wine, you want malt, you want this. And the man said, oh, no, nothing, just a glass of water. Hey, they look like Jesus Christ. Hey. So you are waiting that when you grow up, when they ask you like that, say first course on drink alone, malt. Second course, and a mixture of exotic fruits. Third course, rare wine. So that food never start to, that's what you're thinking. After you grew up, the day I realized it was, they offered us, my friend and I think it was my in-law's place, we went for a wedding or so. Oh, we like to drink. They didn't have the raw food. I said, Mom, no, please take the multiple. Just take the food and water. So my friend Chuk said the same thing. And there was one brother who went with us. He looked like, no, leave the malt there. When I finish with my own, I'll do their own. And then my friend, I looked at each other and laughed. I realized that, my God, we have grown. That is his season. Let him drink it. He will soon get tired. You get what I'm saying? Now, why am I saying all these things? So, you must understand the children of Israel. Alright? The monotonity of the food that God gave them wasn't fun. And listen to this. I said, I was going to explain this before I go to my main message. I'm good. I'm happy. The Lord has connected me back there now. The only reason why manna would have been enjoyable is if they attended to the word of God. I don't know what I heard I said. The only reason why you will not whine and complain about any situation that you are in life, whether of plenty or of few, alright, is because you are attending to the word of God. Listen, the only reason, before I used to argue with people, that's why now I'm really growing older and wiser. When I talk, you talk your own, I leave you there. I realize that you are seeing, like I say, perception to you is reality. Meanwhile, perception can be wrong. Do you understand? You can see what is not there. But to you that is seeing whatever you are seeing, that's what is there. So I now realize, how can I tell a man to deny what he's seeing? You don't know what I get what I'm saying? You cannot, by arguments, persuade a man that what he's seeing is not there. And that's why philosophers are confused. They start arguing, if a tree falls in the bush and there's nobody to hear it, does it make a noise? But to me, it's a very stupid statement. But they sit down and discuss it. And somebody will come and tell you, this is what Plato said. Socrates said this. They start mentioning maybe modern philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre. They mention all kinds of names to discuss whether a tree makes a noise if it falls in the bush, if there's nobody to hear it. Now, what am I explaining? This is, I am not going to get involved in such arguments. A man, a celebrated atheist, they say, what will you do when you get to heaven? And God says, how come you did not believe in me? You know, when you die in heaven, I'm not going near heaven, but you know, when you die, he said that he will tell God, not enough evidence, not enough evidence, not enough evidence. And when I heard it, I laughed. And God will say, there was plenty of evidence. There was plenty of evidence. It's just that you did not like to believe the evidence. A man sees, listen to this, you can only see, listen to what I'm saying, what the word of God has prepared you to see. Listen, if you feed on the word of God first, manna will taste new every morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was why Jesus always, every time, that was why he never forgot to give thanks. One day I was with somebody, quite well to do person, a relative of mine. And she was saying, just eating in what you and I call nice dishes. She said, this is not the kind of plate my mate used to eat. Do you hear what I said? Somebody eating in a nice house that 99% of Nigerians can't live in. Eating good food, opened the mouth and said, the way things are going, I don't understand. This is not the kind of plate my mates used to eat. A relation of mine. So I got up. I said, Auntie, it's not your fault. I just got angry and walked away. What do you mean? What do you want us to do? Go and buy gold to plate the whole thing? What about those who only eat food in leaves? Not out of, you know, there's a way a rich man, like when we go for my convention, some of our meals, we deliberately serve it in leaf. They say that is the way, because it's one kind of rice. You know what I'm saying? They put smoked fish, dried fish inside, then wrap it in leaf, then put the leaf in the plate. That's because you chop belly food. Amen? There are people who chop with leaf, because that's the only thing they have. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those people are there. They are still giving thanks for the food that they have eaten. They are seen to eat. Somebody is saying that this is not the kind of plate my mates used to eat. Why? Because disturbance has entered your soul. What am I saying? The ability to enjoy whatever you are given in life is based upon, listen, Solomon said, after looking at everything, I discovered to enjoy, to rejoice, is, you know, is the best thing. He said, but that one also is a gift of God. Listen to me. Manna tastes sweet every morning to a grateful person who the word of God has first filled. Is somebody saying, now that I'm getting every day is manna? Just know he has denied God. He's apostate. His face is out of order. Let me tell you something. Life has different levels. No, I keep on saying it. When you see a man misbehaving outside, he misbehaved inside first. God never, listen to me, never judges the things that are outside. No, he doesn't. He said, I, the Lord, I do what? I test the heart. I search the mind. Or I search the heart, I test the mind. Before I now judge a man according to his works. That is, the works are only a manifestation, all right, of what is going on inside. When a man starts whining about manna, he's already ungrateful to God for his whole life. That's number one. And number two, he's not feeding on the true manna from above. Are you following what I'm saying? You will enjoy whatever you see. That's why Jesus always used to give thanks before he ate his food. Because if there's no gratitude in your heart, all right, if you're not happy rejoicing towards God, they will give you the best cars, the best houses, the best everything in life. All you will say is this all there is to it? The keys to satisfaction. I said I was going to start with this, but the Holy Spirit is leading me and I'm saying everything I have to say. For everything in life is the word of God. Let me say, let me abandon this message and say what I am supposed to say. Right? I'll get back to what I'm saying. Listen. God wants us to enter into rest. Is that okay? What do we mean when we talk about the rest of God? Let's go there. What is rest? In the book of Hebrews, it said, he that has entered into God's rest has ceased from his own works. Did we read that just now? Okay. That will be in chapter 4. Let's read from verse 6 of chapter 4, Hebrews. It says, since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He fixes again a certain day, saying today. Saying through David, after so long a time, because it was that Psalm 95. Just as he had said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken for another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, just as God did, he said, from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let anyone fall from following the same example of disobedience. What am I explaining? Listen, what is the rest of God? is a place you enter and you have ceased from your own works. What do I mean by your own works? Does it mean you won't work? Listen, there are two kinds of works. There are your own works, all right? And then there are the works of God. And they came to Jesus. What must we do that we must do? We might do the works of God. I'm not saying men shouldn't work, but you have to be sure that your work is the work of God, not your own works. The man who has entered into rest is the one that has ceased from his own works. That is, the only work he does is the work of God. He doesn't do his own works. What are your own works? They are your own schemings to enter into mighty breakthrough. They are your own schemings to get things that you really want in life. Something happened recent times, I just realized, because it's my own personal testimony, and I can't give details about it. I just realized that no matter how hard you work, especially when you're a believer, if God doesn't bless you, that work would not produce anything. Listen to this. No matter how much you don't work towards that thing, if you do the work of God every day, in his due season, God will so manifest, you will look and say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we're like them that dream. Let me tell the job of every Christian, to locate the work of God for his life every day. What I mean is this. When you have located the work of God, listen, you do it with ease. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy. And my what? Burden is light. If you locate the work of God, it becomes easy for you. When you are doing the work of God and you are doing it consistently, that's why I recommend again, please, go and read that book, How to Work for God. Because when you are doing the work of God and you are doing it consistently, what happens is that in his time, he brings forth your blessing, your breakthrough upon you suddenly, that you will hardly believe that this is happening to you. The challenge of faith, this is the problem in quotes with Christianity, is for us to be able to accept that we can get to a place that we are not working towards. I don't know what I hear what I say. That is, there's a rush to Lagos. And God say, what? You go to go and pray and say, Lord, we have to get to Lagos. How do we get there? And he says, the way to go to Lagos is to start jogging around Opera Square. Listen, it's a very crazy thought. It's a foolish way of reasoning, humanly speaking. Except that the things of God, they are foolish to men. God knows the plan. Why am I jogging around Opera Square? God said, just go and jog around Opera Square. How you will come to what God says, there's a long story about around that. But go and read the book, How to Work for God, all right? I describe those things in there. But one way or the other, you discover that this is the work of God for me for today. So I go to Opera Square and I'm jogging around. There are different ways by which that manifests. All right? It could be that God said, I have given you Opera Square to jog around so as to waste your time. Why do you want my time wasted? So that by the time the pilot and the plane will arrive, you'll still be here. Everybody rushing, by that time, they will have reached Onitsha. They will have reached, Agbo. They will be on their way. If I didn't tell you to jog around Opera Square, you two will have joined them. And then what will happen? Somewhere along the line, the pilot will arrive and see nobody to carry. But those who are doing the work of God, what happens is that they are going around the place. Now, humanly speaking, it does not make sense. Except that when the people who are running to Lagos get there, all right, when they get there, you know what they will find? That the man who they left jogging around Opera Square has already reached Lagos ahead of them. That's the rest of God. It doesn't mean that the man won't do anything. Let me get back to it. All right? Let's get some practical examples. It could be the kind of business you are doing, the kind of life you are living, all right? The kind of way you are behaving. And people say, actually, this has happened to me before. There was a time my friends looked and decided that I was not motivated about life. In fact, there was a time my wife wondered why I behaved the way I did. So just before we got married and shortly after. Just felt that things don't bother you. You don't push for things. Listen, there are two kinds of people that behave like that. There are people who are irresponsible and lazy. And there are people that their own is motivated by faith. And let me say it again. We have always talked about faith as if faith is a matter of just close your eyes and then you believe something out of ordinary, you know, like things that don't make sense to you. Let me say it again. To the man of faith, his faith makes sense. Listen, it doesn't make sense to the general population. But to him, it does what? It makes sense. You know, I've been saying this thing again and again. I hope you believe it now. If what you are doing is foolish to you, it is foolish. If what you are doing is foolish to everybody else, it can be faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? Faith is never foolish to the man who's doing it. Why am I saying so? So when I say I'm doing something because of faith, let me explain what I mean again. I've given us a few examples. If you ask Naomi, Ruth, assuming she was a Christian, she wasn't. Assuming she had understanding, she didn't have, all right? Now, why are you doing what you are doing? She will tell you, all right, that I'm doing it by faith. But the real Ruth didn't know all of these things. So you will tell her, why are you doing what you are doing? She will answer you, I am doing this because I can't leave my mother-in-law to suffer. Are you going to answer? Are you getting what I'm saying? So for her faith is what? It's reasonable. Then the Bible now says by faith she did it. But she did not know it was by faith. She was using a faith that works by love, like Paul said. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So doing the work of God, let's get back to that. The man who has entered into rest is not an idle and lazy man. He's a man who is doing the work of God. Listen, I need to clarify this. I'm saying many things. I hope you are learning something and I'm not getting too disjointed. I'm not trying to focus, all right? But it's so hard. Many things to say. When I say doing the work of God, I did not say going to church. Because I have seen this day and age, there are so many foolish people. Now, the word foolish, I used it after carefully thinking about it and decided that's the best option. Foolish people. Who all they do is go to church. Morning, they are in church. Afternoon, they are in church. Night, they are in church. Why are they foolish? Because they are going through motions, believing that that is how they will please God. I've thought about it. I've written about it. Please go and read it or get a CD. How to work for God. I'm going to teach it on radio again, maybe in the next 3 months or so. I'm not saying going to church is the work you will do until God opens the door of your life. The work of God for you can be teaching children. The work of God for you, listen to me, it sounds funny, it can be refusal to resign from your father's business and pursuing greater opportunities. You say, why am I not resigning? There will be something reasonable. My father's business is not making me a lot of money. But it's a good business. It's located somewhere close to Enugu, one major town, but actually closer to our village. He employs about 400 village people. If I leave, there's no trustworthy person to hold the business. The business will close over the next 2-3 years, and the 400 people will lose their jobs, and the economic development that our area is experiencing will go backward again. Yes, I know I have a BSc in engineering. I have a first class, I have a second class, I have very good, and I could go to Shell, and I could earn in a few years a millionaire every month. But let me manage the small profit my father and I are sharing now, so that I will not throw 400 people out of employment. It's not an idle man who's talking. His friends will come from Lagos with their new Hiluxes and their Prados. Oh boy, how far now? The guy will start his own Nissan Bluebird. Zoom. Ah, boys, now don't come. Come. See the phone. Feel him. My guy, anything I tell him, he will do. I have told him you are good. And he said I should bring you. Your start. Listen, we are talking about ExxonMobil. Now we are going to clear, is it BP, British Petroleum? We are going to Gulf of Mexico to go and clear the biggest ever oil spill. Just fill this form. And listen, the guy wants to get up and leave. Going to Gulf of Mexico to go and clear oil spill is nice if you have never left Nigeria. That's what I'm saying. Being well paid is nice if you've never left. But the guy is about to leave. He will look at his father. The man is now 75. No trustworthy person around. He just looked at everything, the poultry, the farms, everything, and sees the 400 people that labor there. And he sees that these are the 400 people who labor, not the wives and children that the labor support to. Then he will look and say, boys, don't worry, oil will spill again. We will clear that one that time. But for now, guys, I'm very sorry. I have to keep this thing going. That's how faith works. Faith is not... Oh, I begin to believe and I began to declare according to what my faith is saying. I see it, I see it. Most of those will never receive anything. Do you get my point? Yes, they are so busy seeing it and receiving it, and the things are passing by them because their eyes are closed while they are seeing the invisible. The real things that God is bringing, it passes by them. I heard a man preach once, not a good testimony to repeat. He said he had been believing God for foreign trips, invitations to go and preach in foreign countries. Then one day, one of his friends, pastoring, I think, in either Kenya or Botswana or something, sent him an invitation. And he looked and said, God, what kind of thing is this? Not the kind of breakthrough I'm believing for. Told the guy, sorry, I can't come. The other person sent him an invitation from France. He said, amen, amen. And the guy was preaching, and I was like, ignorance is a bad thing. People don't know when they are disgracing themselves openly. I wanted to cover my face like the Ghanaian player that missed the penalty. I wanted to cover my face for him. But the man was just, just to show that whatever you declare, you will receive. And I felt very bad. I'm talking about doing the work of God. The one who has entered into rest has ceased from his own works. He doesn't become lazy or idle. He has just picked the work of God. And he does that until the time that his word will come. Why? Let me say this again. Why will a man sit down there until the time that his word will come? I will tell you. Listen to this. Because he's not waiting for the word to come. It sounds like I don't know faith, eh? Let me teach properly. Let me explain something to you. I'm preaching here, alright? I really don't think I want to preach here like this forever. If you follow my point. But, listen to this. If that's what God says I should do, as long as he keeps bringing revelation, do you understand my point? As long as I keep uttering, as long as the word is always fresh, and like Jesus said, a scribe or a teacher, like my Bible says, who has been instructed in the ways of the kingdom, is like the housekeeper, a keeper of treasures, that from his storehouse brings out things, both new and old. As long as I am like that, listen to me, I can teach here for 100 years. Listen, God is helping me to learn and teach faith better. People who keep waiting for the time that the word will come usually lose heart before it comes. I don't know what I heard. I said, many years ago, I thought about it. I said, Lord, I was meditating. 25 years Abraham waited. I go look like, can I wait 25 years for anything? Ah! 25 years Abraham waited. Then one day I thought, and I realized, I guess it was the Holy Spirit that was teaching me. Say, oh boy, he did not wait 25 years. What's wrong with you? He didn't. He waited only for one day. He said, what do you mean, Banky? What I mean is simple. The waiting was a daily thing. He wasn't counting 25 years. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. You think he was waiting and saying, hey, oh, the promised son Isaac is coming. Let me tell you the truth. You want to hear this? There was never a time the man woke up in the morning, looked out, and began to confess, Isaac, you shall come. that promised son, it is time. Right now, I call you. Hear me, Isaac. Come from heaven. I break open heaven. Think about it. Do you think he did that? God came and said, your name will be Abraham. He said, that's the way you like it. He said, that's the way I like it. Okay, fine, Abraham. What's your name? He said, I should tell you my name is Abraham. I don't know whether I get the point. Listen. I want us to focus on something. What was Abraham doing? Let me ask you a question. When he went to go and fight to rescue Lot, how many people went with him? His servants that were in his house. Do you know the size of household the man was managing every day? Some of those are your confessions that you don't have work. I'm sorry now. Are you angry? Yeah, you don't have anything you are doing. If you have to report, like my wife is to report into UBA by 7:30 in the morning, and you come back home at night, and you wake up in the morning, Father, thank you for this day. My husband, I love you. I'm going to work. I'm telling you the truth. By the time you reach there, you won't even remember all this confession the way they confess. I'm not saying you don't confess positively. I say so. But that you make it a project to force Isaac to come by force. The day Isaac came, it was not precipitated by the acute exacerbation of confessions by Abraham. You know what caused it? I'll tell you. He was sitting down and he saw three people walking in the desert or in their wilderness, whether it was a real desert, I don't know, heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was night. And he said, this is a dangerous zone. Why don't you guys come in, stay with my household overnight? Then tomorrow you can set on your way. He said, okay. As soon as he settled, I look at him. These are important people and these are tired people. He ordered food to be made for them. It was while they were eating, the Lord looked and said, should we hide what we are about to do from our friend Abraham? Seeing that we have chosen him, because he will teach his household and his children after him the will of the Lord. He will teach them righteousness. He says, so that I can bring upon him what I have promised. And Abraham said, by the way, who are you? What am I saying? The Bible says, when we're going to learn about New Testament, it said he entertained angels not being aware. I have said that faith works by love. This faith that's so focused on material objects are not the faith of God. What am I saying? Abraham was busy every day. He wasn't crossing legs. Eh? Isaac, you're here, won't you? I cry. Is that Isaac? No. My Isaac shall come. Lord, I know my Isaac shall come. Let us worship the Lord for Isaac. Isaac is coming. Oh, amen. Praise him. Amen. Some of the things we call faith, listen to me, they are expressions of worry. They are expressions of lack of confidence. Now, listen to me. Listen to what I want to say carefully. I'm not saying stop them. They are better than whining. But please, don't tell me it's the faith of God. Because it's not. Abraham was busy every day. He was cultivating the land and getting richer. You think he's sitting there waiting so that Isaac will meet him in poverty? He wasn't. Yes, Isaac is coming. The promised child and children, they are coming. But please, until they come, the earth is producing children every day. So let's cultivate it. The man was managing his household. He was a very big man, a rich man. He had grown rich. His walk with God was a daily thing. The man did not wait for Isaac for 25 years. He was walking with God every day. When we added together, at the end it was 25 years. What am I saying? When we locate the work of God, it's not something we just do, you know, temporarily. Let us just see. Listen, it's something you occupy yourself with for that day. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. That I tell you, look, every day has an assignment. Every day has the work of God. But how? Now, don't forget where I started from. Life has trials. Life has troubles. Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. When the men were eating manna every day, it was boring. Then we went into the reason why manna is boring. Manna is boring when you are not filled with the life of God. You are not communicating and doing the work of God every day. If indeed you are drunk of the Spirit of Christ, are you getting me? And then you locate the work of God, you will not discover that manna is boring. Let me tell you something. If you are a new preacher, and I found out that this thing that I say to preachers applies to every part of life, all right? Don't try to do, let me put it like this. You know, maybe you have a company, as an example. Suddenly you want to diversify because you don't want to just stay in one zone, all right? That's what I'm explaining. If you're a preacher, don't make it compulsory to diversify your ministry. What I'm saying is that sometimes the restlessness in the human mind is what causes us to just rise up and start doing many things. Maybe I get up now. I go to Lagos. I see that Winners Chapel or Bishop Oyedepo has a, he has schools. Do you follow? And then I come back to Enugu and say, no, building schools is good. And it's effective ministry. Suddenly you come and say, praise the Lord. The Lord has been speaking. I've been telling you about God speaking to people. Here, I've warned you about it, all right? So I come and say, praise the Lord. The Lord has been speaking to me that we should start a school for ministers. Amen? All of you will be the first students. You will register. If you love me, say amen. You are going to register. Now, a lot of times, for some people, that's the work God sent them to do. God called Kenneth Hagin, I believe that, and told him to start a Bible school. For some people, you know the problem with them? They are restless. And suddenly they are bored with what they are doing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Yes. They become bored with what they are doing. So they are looking for more excitement. Listen to me. It's not necessary. If God leads you that way, by many ways, yes, it's good. But please, you don't need to get yourself too excited. What I mean is that if you locate the work of God, manna can appear boring to the person outside. Alright? If you have located your manna, eat it daily. And let me get back to something I was saying. Manna can never be nice and interesting to you if you are not first feeding on the spiritual manna, the word of God. It can't be. The reason why you suddenly wake up and see that this bread is stale and tasting the same is because your relationship with God has become stale. Listen, the Bible says that be careful that you are not overweighed, alright? You are not overwhelmed by the cares of this world. Sometimes, if you're a preacher, listen to this. Sometimes when people are overwhelmed by cares, I say, see, these are the pressures. When you don't preach, one man told us once, he had preached and preached and preached. God kept him in Kano. Then when it comes to Lagos, the kind of car they used to welcome at the airport alone, he will know that he has failed. You didn't get my joke. The man thinks he has failed. He said that, my wife was there that day. See, there are times you go and wonder and pray. Say, God, which sin did I commit? No, no, just tell me. Like Job will say, just open up. Let's just know so we can repent. This guy and I started preaching the same time. He has preached for 6 years. I have preached for 6.5 years. When I come look at his church, there are 2,000 people. He drives a brand new Mercedes Benz. You come to Kano, we're only 150. 180. On a good day, maybe we will do Thanksgiving and invite our friends. We may hit 300 for that day. Okay, I have not. This car I saved for 6 years. That period. He said he will go and say, God, what is going on? Those are the cares of the world. Alright? They overwhelm people. And when you're overwhelmed, suddenly your manner, your ministry looks uninteresting. Then you now want to launch it to another area. That's when you now say that, yeah, since yesterday, God has been calling me that we have to take this ministry to another level. What you thought you would never do, you will begin it. This is what I'm saying. Alright? It didn't start with the tastelessness of manna. It started when something broke the connection between you and God, and the true manna of God was no longer flowing into your spirit. Suddenly the physical manna lost taste. Now, when into the trying to explain what is the rest of God? I said the Bible says that the man who enters into God's rest has ceased from his own works. That is, indeed, God has called you to be something in life. A lot of times, He gives you visions and ideas concerning those things. Then He gives you the work to do for that day. And for the day, all right, that you are doing that work, each day you do that work, you are moving closer to destiny. Even though physically it does not look like that. Are you getting my point? Now, in that rest of God, what produces the destiny? What produces the results? That's what I'm talking about. Listen to me. It is the constant infusion of the word of God. He said, go to the book of the Lord and read. Listen to this. None of these shall fail, neither with any lack it's made. This is the reason. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken, therefore His Spirit has gone out and gathered them. What I mean is that if God has a word over your life, the word of God is not advice or good methods. The word of God is power. Do you understand my point? It cracks doors open that were closed. It gathers, He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. That is, if the people that you need to show you favor, are right now in Australia, God will tell them, my family come enter a plane and come to Nigeria. You have to meet my son. You have to meet my daughter. Friend of mine recently was giving me gist. He said, Banky. He said, you know my friend. I said, they work in the company. It's part of the company that his friend owns. Or it's part of the company. They own businesses together. He said, he does not give bribes. Many jobs, big jobs in this country, they are bidded for. People will come and tell them, this is my own. You put 25% for me. And the guy will say, no. Listen, I did not come to this level like this. I am not going to progress from here like this. Then recently, he told me that they bidded. No. They got to meet this government official. And then the man saw their profile. And said, how come nothing from our state is inside here? He said, no, you guys must do something for us. He said, that guy said, I ain't bribing nobody. I did not get here bribing people. I won't leave this level to another level bribing anybody. Now, what am I saying? This is how the word of God works. It doesn't just give you instructions. When it tells you, so shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. What it means is that once I tell you something, it then has gone out trying to engineer. The major problem is that we keep on hindering the word of God from producing His works. When we don't cease from our own works. Do you get my point? And one major reason we can't cease from our own works is because a man can't be idle. We have not located the work of God. So we got to do something. And this is what I'm saying. You can't locate the work of God except the word of God is constantly entering inside your heart. Listen. Church going is not about attendance. Christianity is not about how many times was that Bible study. No. The Christianity is about, is the word of God entering me? Because if it does not enter... Because there are two steps. One, it must enter. I must believe is step number two. Before it can take me into the rest of God. And when I have entered into the rest of God, God begins to do His own work. He said, he that has entered into His rest has ceased from His own works. The first stage to entering God's rest is to attend to the word of God. Listen, I told you that this is one area I love to preach to Christians. Manna is tasteless. Because we have stopped eating spiritual manna. The reason why you are whining and complaining about where you are walking right now, listen to what I'm saying. The reason why you are whining and complaining about your situation in life right now, the reason why you are whining and complaining about these things that you have not been able to do, the reason why you are bored and tired of life currently is because you have not been feeding yourself with the word of God. That's all. There's no second reason. Listen, except the word of God fills you, life is annoying. You think your problem is that you don't have a good job. You think your problem is that you have not married. You think your problem is that you don't have children. You think your problem is because you have not made money. Go and read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, I have so much money, no king before me in Israel had money like that. Yet I looked at it and I was tired of life. And I said, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. He said, therefore, I said, I will kill this vanity feeling. So you know what the next thing I did? I chased after drinking. I drank and drank and made sure my wisdom was still guiding me. He said, I discovered it was in itself vanity. That I was using emptiness to pursue the feeling of emptiness away from my heart. He said, okay, I'll become foolish. You know what it means to be foolish? I'll wake up in the morning and not do anything. When they say they are bills to be signed, I'm the governor or the president, I won't sign it. Let the worst that will happen happen. He said, after 2 days, I realized that foolishness was madness. So I said, I'll be very wise. I'll be smart. I found out smart people die. He said, I gathered for myself a whole harem. Afterwards, I found out. I told all those women he married, it was an experiment. After that, I found out that there's nothing better than for a man to be just with the wife of his youth. That is, he was more confused as a very rich man who had access to everything than those who didn't have anything. He said, I discovered that what happens to the rich happens to the poor. That, look, when we finish the book of Job, we'll take a glance at this. We'll look at it. He said, I discovered that there's nothing better than for a man to, that is, he said, how did he say it again? He said, fear God. He said, the summary of everything is fear God. Obey his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Let me summarize Ecclesiastes for you, all right, in one sentence. All that's in Ecclesiastes for us to understand that life is meaningless without God. To the rich, it is meaningless. To the poor, it is meaningless. To the average, it's absolute madness. There is no meaning. So what we do is that we attack our current situation as a cause of our discomfort in life. So when NEPA takes your life 3 times, you start whining. And I don't know what's going on. The truth is that your heart is detached from God. So the meaninglessness of life is attacking you. You run to America because they took light. The first 1 month, there's no light failure. You understand? No power failure. Then after that, you discover there's what they call economic crunch. There are no jobs. This and this starts. Then you get a good job. They tell you, we are taking 1/3 of your income as tax. Then you start complaining again. I don't know this kind of country these people say they are building. In fact, I'm going back home. Then as you are packing, trying to see how you can start a business at home, you hear that your cousin was kidnapped. And they say, bros, I bet, send us $10,000 so we can complete the 2 million naira rescue plan. I bet, is it? Ransom, eh? Then you say, that's such a useless country. Why should anybody live there? Then you abandon your plan for coming back. You stay back. Then they lay you off. Then after a while, you're also going to read the book of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes. The vanity of all vanity. All is vanity. It's like just after the wind. I could have told you that 16 years ago. What's your problem? Why are things meaningless? Why is life meaningless? It's meaningless because you have cut the relationship between you and your God. Manna is tasteless because the people were not eating spiritual manna. That's all. Let me summarize so that I can close on time. I don't want to keep us for too late. The summary of it is this. There is a rest of God that God has prepared for us, his children, to enter into. In that place of rest, the word of God, which takes us in there, all right, goes out to gather the things of our destiny. In that place of rest, we have ceased from our own works, but we are doing the work that is of God. And our hearts are at rest. Listen to me, life has 2 levels. I keep on saying it. There's a spiritual side, and then there's a material side. The material side manifests after the spiritual one is in place. They were in the wilderness, Exodus 14, where they began to whine and grumble against what their lives were experiencing. Are you getting my point? Yet, what did God require? He wanted them to be at peace with God at that point. But if they had been at peace, would they have been the promised land immediately? No. They still would have journeyed through a portion of the wilderness, all right, and entered eventually into the promised land. But they would have entered shortly. What am I saying? First, they would have entered rest, the peace of God in their hearts. Then it will have manifested outwardly. That is the first place we walk is where we are right now to achieve the rest of God in our hearts. It's not to achieve it outside. Let me say it to you again. Life is very confusing. Without God, it's meaningless. I hate watching football. After yesterday, I renewed my vow not to watch football again. And I told God as much. Since he didn't answer all my prayer to let Ghana win that game, so I won't watch again. You know who disqualified Ghana? It was God. Only God does such things. Did you see it? I didn't watch match again. I knelt down, prayed throughout the penalty. I wasn't watching. I went to my room. Then suddenly something happened. I started praying. Suddenly in my heart, I began to give thanks. And I was rejoicing. I don't know why. I just knew that win or lose, I have the joy of the Lord. And of course, after that, we lost. Don't even talk about football with me again. I'm not watching again. I swore in my wrath I shall not watch football again. Abba. What am I saying? Life can be very annoying. Look, it can be very annoying. Don't think it's for the poor man or the struggling man. It's for everybody. Look, you have plenty of money, have everything. You will look at, the countries that are most prosperous in the world, all right, have one of the highest suicide rates. I don't know which country somebody told me about. See, young men have nice jobs, you know, working in good companies, paying them a lot of money. They have everything. They don't know the meaning of power field. In fact, they think power is connected to the sun. You understand what I'm saying? Since the sun's always shining, why shouldn't there be power? They don't understand that things can go up. They live in nice apartments. They don't have to think about buying a car. They work, so the company gives them the car. That is like Toyota will give you a Toyota, BMW will give you a BMW. They just be taking small money as you are. Well, you know, they don't, but yet. So young men wake up in the morning. They don't dress so, They all look. He's living on the 25th floor. They all look outside. Say, what will it be like if I just decide to jump? And the guy will decide to jump. And that is no explanation. To the Nigerian, to the African boy, can't get the point. He can't get the point. He said, He jumped, killed himself, and left a Lexus 490 behind? That's what the boy is thinking. No, if they give me a Lexus, I will never die. Like I say, he's speaking out of the experience of poverty. He thinks that prosperity is the key. The lie. And then you go look and say, why? The reason is because there's nothing you can do about it. Life is meaningless in itself. It is, absolutely. The only thing that gives life meaning is our relationship with God. We will go to trials, I know. But the midst of trials, actually, that's what I wanted to preach to you. So let me start. And the Holy Spirit led me that way. Let me just start. The one I wanted to preach before, and I close with it. In the midst of trials, in that wilderness, the thing that would have given those people rest, like I said, of course, is to be feeding themselves with the word of God. With that, they will have known that God is with them at all times. On Tuesday last week, we explained something. Job said, why is God even paying attention to my case? How can a small fry like me offend him and he'll be getting angry? You know that kind of thing? He didn't understand that he was very vital to God. Let me tell you something. The very number of hair that is strands, the strands of hair on your head, God knows them. Now, I don't mean he knows the number of hair follicles upon the head of human beings. I say he just speaks, say, Jonathan, the number of hair on your head, there are this, this, and this. And if I plug this one out, this is number 1,272 in the list. That's how closely God attends to your life. That's a matter of fact. Listen, as Christians, we understand that. The problem we have, let me just say this. I know my time is up. I just want to say these things. The problem we have is wrong teaching. We have been taught that the reason why we have problems is because there's a curse, you know, in our family. Let me tell you, you can see anything you want to see. When those Ghanaians will get back home, some people will organize a deliverance meeting. They say it's a near-miss syndrome. You've not been to church. They're always doing deliverance from such things. And under here, I just laugh. They should flog some people who call themselves preachers. We are preying upon the fears and the ignorance of people. Listen, it is not because of any curse that you are not doing well. Do you hear what I said? Unless you are not a Christian, or you decide to be walking in sin. In which case, the problem is iniquity. It's not, there's a curse that your great-grandfather sinned. So right now, you know, we are going to break the curse over your family. And I hear that every time. I hear it all the time. And I always laugh. Say, these pastors, don't they read the Bible? He said, Pastor, what God do you mean? Read the Bible. Just ask yourself, when did Jesus go around breaking curse over anybody's family? There's a curse in this house. We are going to have a 3 days prayer and fasting. On the third day, we break bread. As we are breaking the bread, the curse is broken. I just start laughing. Pastor, why are you laughing? Because it's a lie. One of my friends said to me the other day, he said, how come every preacher will come and say, today, we are going to break? He said, listen, they've been breaking these things for years. There should be nothing left to break again. You have been breaking this thing for years. There should be nothing left to break. If you have not read it, go and read the book, Triumphant Church. I can't preach everything. Go and read Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, even he did it. He did deliverance services, loosening meetings, setting free meetings, open door meetings, open heaven meetings. At the end of the day, as they were bound at the beginning, so were they bound at the end. The entrance of thy word gives light. Do you understand my point? If men will feed themselves with the word of God, they will discover the real liberty that God has given them. And no devil holds the child of God down. The bondage that lack of connection with the word of God puts you inside, the laying on of hands and the breaking anointing can never pull you out of it. I hope you hear what I said. Yes. Listen, I've said many things. I hope we've learned something here and there. Yeah. Because I have talked. And the point I'm making is this. Let me just say it again. Alright, this is a summary of it. Life is tasteless. Manna is tasteless if we don't eat the real manna. If we eat the real manna, which is the word of God, are you getting my point? We will discover real meaning to life. And each day we will discover that there is a work of God. A man who is doing the work of God. Sorry, I didn't say who is going to church. Who joined Kingdom World Ministries full time and abandons the job he's doing. I'm not saying that's what the work of God is. For somebody, that may be the work of God. Are you getting my point? Yes, it may be. In fact, for me, it is the work of God. But I'm saying that it doesn't have to be. There will be something that's the work of God for you. When you have drunk of the Spirit of God by His Word, your heart enters into peace. And then you enter into what may even appear monotonous and is not making progress like everybody else thinks progress should be defined. Yet, you don't feel there's a problem with you. Let me just add this one. If you ever settle down and start using Ngozi, Amaka, who else? All your friends to measure your life. You are about to understand what they call the opposite of the peace of God that passes understand. This is the confession of the devil that you can really understand. It will soon come upon you. Do you understand my point? There's a peace of God that passes understanding. Then there's a confession of the devil that you can understand how it's coming, because you will see how much you have not yet achieved. If you ever start that, that is, of course, like I said, it is a world that's weighing you down with its cares. Cutting off your supply of the Spirit, suddenly every good thing that God has given you becomes manna. What is this? Are you getting what I'm saying? Suddenly becomes what? What is this? Is this all there is here? My wife was telling me something she read in a book a few days ago. A man and another are talking to themselves. Write down all the things that God has done for you, all your blessings in life. One began to list blessings. My blessing, my car, my house, my this, my that. He listed all those worldly possessions that he had. And that guy wrote down his blessings. He said, last week I was able to help this person. 3 weeks ago, I was able to help this person. Oh, my family, that's a blessing. After he listed, the other man looked at him and said, I feel like an idiot. That suddenly he was able to see something that he was not seeing before. That there's a way to count blessings. Listen, all these things will never come except you attend to the word. I don't want to start on that now because my time is gone. And once I start that, I can't leave it. Listen, I want to make this statement and then I close. The degree of God's destiny that manifests in your life is directly proportional to the amount of the truth of God you imbibe every day. Success for the Christian is not from labor. It's by the manifestation of the word of God. Jesus said, take care how you hear. It is as you hear the word that life measures out the destiny and the blessings of God to you. Do you hear what I said? It didn't say, take care how you go to church. What am I saying? If you go to church and you don't hear anything, you may as well stay at home. So if you go to church, determined to hear. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That's why I tell you all the time, Kingdom World Ministries, nobody mills around when I'm preaching. Not because I don't like the help you are helping me by milling around, but I hate the disservice you are doing to your own soul. Let me say it like this. It is not possible to drink of the true manna, which is the word of God, and destiny will not suddenly show upon you one day. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can go to school, get masters, get this, get that, and you see a man who spent the amount of time that you spent acquiring natural degrees, feeding his life with the word of God. He will build a company so large, by the time you come out with your PhD, everything, he will give you a job. If the work of God for you does not include getting extra degrees, don't bother. If it is for you as a Christian, a way to go faster in life, just forget it. Am I saying degrees are bad? You know, I keep on saying, I didn't say that. My wife is not looking for a job, yet she has applied for an MSc in University of Nigeria, Enugu campus, and she has an MBA, and she has a BSc in accounting, and almost finished ICAN, except that she married me. She's threatening to finish it. No, yet. This year, we said, okay, time for another master's program, and she's not planning to beg any body for a job. It's just that learning is good. I said, the experience you have in doing private business, go and see how the academic sector talks about it. Maybe one day you'll be able to teach somebody what you have learned in a formal setting. People were doing businesses before business schools were started. You know that?
Yes.
So I'm not saying learning is, you shouldn't go and get a degree. But if you think, if breakthrough is what you are looking for, go home, take leave, buy tapes. Good enough, I love MP3 CDs that we have, Kingdom World. Take a few of them, lock door. That is what they call fasting. Fasting is not hunger. I don't want to go into that again. Fasting has nothing to do with hunger. A man fasting can eat. All this idolatry we practice, you punish your body with hunger, you can't even concentrate. You sit down there. Say, God, now by this hunger won't finish me. Tell me you are praying. I tell people, if you are fasting and the hunger won't let you pray, get up, go downstairs, collect 2 slices of bread and a glass of Milo. Eat it. That's an easier way to cast out the demon of hunger than all this prayer you are praying. Yes. Go back upstairs to wherever you have locked yourself and tune up the message again. When the Bible says, Meditate there in day and night. Didn't say, hey, this is my company. It has been built. It's my company. That's not what the Bible called meditate. I will talk about it again, how Christians meditate. The meditation of the Christian is the word of God. David said it. Thy testimonies are my meditations. That is, you take Psalm 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Father, I say concerning you, you are my refuge. I say concerning you, you are my helper. I say concerning you, you are my defense. That's meditation. Meditation is not. That's not meditation. Christian meditation means to mutter. Literal Hebrew says, thou shalt mutter therein day and night. That's why I said, this book of the Lord shall not depart from thy what? Mouth. But thou shalt meditate. Meditate is to put in your mouth. If I say, I don't like that, look, let me tell you what fasting is when it comes to food. The opposite of fasting when it comes to food is feasting, not eating. I know I'm shocking you. My wife, you know, it's not only you. My wife said, you are the strangest Christian I've ever seen when she first met me. What? You know why I'm explaining that to you? The opposite of fasting is feasting. Therefore, if you are not even eating, but you have gone for birthday party, you are not fasting. Even though all you do is sit down there. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there, what are they doing? They are feasting. You are in the midst of feasting. You don't need to eat. You've already broken the fast. If in the midst of your fasting, Argentina and Germany starts playing, you may as well eat. Because you have been distracted from spiritual things and you are watching worldly matches. It's not a sin, but the fast has ended. So, why don't you just go and eat? You see, people just get up and say, I'm fasting. Meanwhile, he's a salesman. He goes to work morning till night. He's hungry. He tells me he's fast. That day, you sold 5 million naira worth of equipment and you are fast. My emphasis is not even about fasting. My emphasis is about the real fast is when a man sets himself aside and takes the word of God into a corner and puts off that stupid Nokia or Sony Ericsson or Motorola, whatever it is that he's using. If you can never put off your phone because you are expecting business, you can never prosper. They can call. Why won't they? If they won't call when you are available, they should forget the business. You won't prosper with it. My friend, when I was telling him about it, I was telling him about that, his friend. He said, when the guy said it's time to go and meditate, he said he doesn't care. The minister of Nigeria, the minister of the Republic, can't get him on the phone. He will quench the phone. If it's a man whose phone is on, you can be checking whether I can answer or I can't answer. If you don't quench, and if you answer the phone where they don't quench, MTN has a very nice voice. The number you are calling is not available at this moment. He's meditating the word of God. Please try again when he has broken through. Christian meditation. This is what it is. Now book. You will settle down, put the message on, close your eye like this. And they are talking. That's what prayer is. I told him, I asked my wife the other day, why are you always reading great? I mean, I your husband, taught you everything in great faith can be yours before I wrote the book. And before it was published. Yet you carry the book every day you are reading. I said, why are you only reading this book? He said, my husband, this book makes me pray. Suddenly I had understanding again. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not that which is born out of hunger. I've told you, I've warned you about this hunger and this worldly matters. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Those things are added. Prayer is that which comes out of your mouth when the word of God challenges you. When people show what God is doing in their lives, they say, ah, God, you mean the word of God has not affected him to this level? You take the word and you start praying about that is prayer.